He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, December 30th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We've got Barry Kite back with us today, our certified financial planner and chartered financial analyst. And with just 2 days left on my calendar, I got to get a new calendar. We've got a little bit of downdraft here in the market. It is really quiet, though. The volume is almost non-existent here today so far. The Dow is down 58 points to 48,405. The S&P is down 7 points to 6898, just a shade under 6900. That looks about where we're going to fit, like where we're going to finish here in 2025. The NASDAQ is down 4 points, 23,470. The Russell 2000 is down a few. We're going to end the year with the 10-year right around 4.13, it looks like, with 1 day to go. And oil just can't get out of its own way. Oil is at 58.39. The story today, yesterday it was silver down 7%. Today it's silver up 7%. I think I'll just hold on to my silver coins and avoid those ETFs. You've got leveraged ETFs on silver. You've got inverse ETFs on silver. Very unpredictable. Extremely unpredictable. In fact, over the years, the silver market has been manipulated several times, and I think that's what you're seeing right now. And we've got gold up 1.2% after a sell-off yesterday. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, you missed the action yesterday. We had a huge sell-off in silver, which has just been on a tear. The number one asset class, I think I can't see much happen between today and tomorrow where we can't say that, you know, for 2025, if you'd have predicted silver up 170%, you would have been the winner of something, a couple of silver coins.
It's like we came in with, you know, came in the year with gold, right? And we're leaving with silver. I think there is, like you said, there's a lot of cross currents going on in that particular market at the moment, you know, and part of it potentially manipulation. Also, you know, you've got contracts that need to be delivered in physical silver. There's been some shortages in physical silver. There's deposits, but obviously you got to get it out of the ground. And then, of course, you got China that's actually, I think, discussing potentially putting an export restriction on physical silver. So, you know, you've got a supply constraint and also a metal that's, you know, both an industrial metal and a, you know, precious metal, which also complicates things. So it's one of those that you may not want to get in the middle of because who knows what direction it's going to go.
Yeah, I'm happy watching it from the sidelines. And, I got a little chunk of gold, silver coins, right, that I bought a long time ago. They just sit there in the safe. The good thing is I can't pick up the phone and trade them, sell them, margin them. They just sit there, and little do they know what's going on in the silver markets. But silver was down.
You can show the grandkids. They'll think it's kind
of
neat.
I did give one silver coin to each of a couple of grandkids. They have no idea what's going on. When I gave them to them, it was at about $32 per ounce, and now you're up at around $60, $70 per ounce. So they made a little money on their investments at a very young age. We had a profit-taking day yesterday. I've looked at maybe 50 representative charts here so far this morning, and it looks like a good day to go fishing or return those presents that don't fit or whatnot. It's not much happening here in the markets today. We are up a little bit. You know, our gold holdings are up today, and the ASM lithography's up, TSM, Taiwan Semi, Google, Meta. But other than that, it is a really quiet day in the markets today, Barry.
Well, and we've got a full, you know, the interesting thing is tomorrow we get to actually have a full market slate tomorrow for New Year's Eve. The only thing that, of course, the bond market closes at 2 p.m. tomorrow. They tend to get out of there a little earlier. But, yeah, it's likely to be, even though we've got a full trading
up
until New Year's Day.
Really?
Yeah. No, not on the equity side. Not on the equity side.
No,
like I said, the bond closes at 2 p.m., but that's
it. I should have been a bond trader. Get the day
off.
Anyways. But anyways, and I think really yesterday the big sell-off in silver probably unnerved the rest of the market a little bit. It was kind of a down day for the AI stocks, the chip stocks, the software stocks, the Palantirs, the NVIDIAs, the Broadcoms of the world. Silver had its biggest one-day drop since 2021. Gold also plunged. It was overdue for some kind of a correction, but it's right back at it here again today. So it's anybody's guess here. Flip a silver coin as to which way silver is going to go here over the next few days. Is silver in a bubble? Well, I don't know. I can't put a valuation on silver. There's a lot of factors, and I'm sure there's plenty of analysts out there that have more experience watching the silver markets than I do. Societe Generale says its quantitative model flags the current silver market as exhibiting bubble-like behavior. Well, just as a guy who watches on the sidelines, I don't disagree with that. It is bubble-like behavior, not only in silver, but in platinum and in copper. It just seems like the traders, it almost seems like a memo goes out underneath the surface of the market to some of the big,
right?
Run silver, boys. Let's have a run at silver this week and see what we can do, or this year or this month. And then I think a memo goes out. This is just in my mind how it works. A big memo goes out. All right, let's short silver and hit it the other way. I don't know how to put a value on silver. I watch the charts.
I mean, and if you look at the chart, right, at worst, at a minimum, you'd say the chart is extended, right? I mean, that's a
parabolically extended. Not just extended. It's got helium underneath its wings. And when I looked at my charts and did my chart analysis on Friday, I said the most extended chart in the market is silver, and it's overdue for a correction. Well, guess what? The correction happened yesterday. It was a one-day correction, and now it's back up, gaining almost everything that it lost yesterday. So, like I say, I think I'll sit on the sidelines, enjoy it, and maybe I'll go polish a few of those silver coins today or melt them down. Does it melt? What temperature does silver melt at? That's your question for the day, Barry. This is a funny story. Trump threatens to sue Jerome Powell, for gross incompetence. Can you sue somebody for that? I've had many a person come do work on my house, yard work, painters. There's a lot of gross incompetence in the world today. I don't know what the thing is out there, but there seems to be a lot of that. But Powell was over that remodel of the Federal Reserve building that came in way over budget. Trump even went there and visited and had Powell show him around. He got a tour. I think Trump wanted to see if the urinals were gold-plated or whatever. But he said this was Powell's baby. There's no love lost between him and Jerome Powell. Trump said he'll probably announce his nominee for the Fed chair in January. He also added that Powell should resign. I don't think he's going to do that, from his role of the Fed board governor when his chair term ends in May. I guess Powell will remain as a governor. when his chairmanship ends in May. But he also brought up the possibility of firing Powell. But, you know, Trump, he's a crazy guy. Anyways, we've got some new ETFs out there. Just what the world needs, some more ETFs, and you'll never guess who's behind these ETFs. Security and Defense, Next Frontiers, American Icons, American Energy Security, and American Red State REITs. How about that? You can buy a REIT only in the red states. The red states are disappearing, though. They're going to have to change that one about every quarter. We'll be right back. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're zeroing in on Houston as our first trip to kick off the 2026 the Gunderson Grateful Dead tour. We're looking at either the northern part of Houston or the Galleria area. The Galleria seems to be the most popular suggestions coming from our radio station in Houston and the top brass that works there. So if you are one of our Houston listeners, you can email us here at Gunderson Capital. We're looking at late January, early February as our first trip. And then after that, we'll see where the second trip will be. But we're lining up the calendar for 2026. Oh, boy, this market is just really quiet here today, Barry. Gee.
Hey, it was, it was out yesterday, and I had kind of a bit of an experience, as you've described before, in terms of, a fishing guide and know where the fish are. But,
Did you go fishing with the guide?
I got the boys out. Got the boys. Like I said, I kind of had the epiphany, as you describe, in terms of where the fish are, and as we talk about in terms of the market, finding the stocks and going where the waters are fruitful. And guide here in the Matt Lachey Pine Island area. We went, put us on some snook, and literally after you catch the fish, you drive by them, and then he tells you to look down, and you can see literally where the fish have just pulled up at, and or have been waiting out the day. So it's kind of used it to, that metaphor in terms of knowing where the fish are, and we got our fill in a very short period of time. So
holy cow,
beats having to look at 5,000 charts every day, right? Easier to look at 500 if you have to.
Yeah, those snook are a lot of fun. Snook fish.
Yeah, it was a blast.
They're usually in those mangroves. Now in Mexico, they call snook robalo. And they're very good to eat, too, by the way, snook. I don't know what the limit is on them, probably two or something like that.
Yeah, they caught a couple of 30-inchers, pretty sizable ones. And, you got to get them out of the mangroves quick. But, we had the boys had a blast, and A little chilly and windy to get out there this morning, but we got on them yesterday. So it was a good example, of course, in terms of the market, where some days there's a lot of action, and of course today the waters are pretty quiet, it seems like, out there.
Well, we'll put that on the Gunderson tour when we're down in the Sarasota area, snook fishing with Gunderson, right?
Yeah,
we'll and look we'll up, have a drawing. Yeah. We'll have a drawing to look up snook fishing with Bill.
look up Tim Jones. He's the call him the Bill Gunderson of
Tim Jones.
Snook
in
fishing.
Pine Island?
Yeah. Yeah, down in Matlache, Pine Island area. Yep, exactly.
Okay, so. And anybody out there listening that wants to go snook fishing, especially if you're up in New Jersey right now in the snow, wouldn't you rather be snook fishing in Florida right now? Okay, guess who's coming out with a 5 ETFs? Trump Media Technology, which has gone a different direction from being a media company. His first thing was transitioning to a nuclear fusion company. Now he's going to do 5 ETFs, the Truth Social American Security and Defense ETF, the Next Frontiers ETF, the Icons ETF, the Energy Security ETF, and the Red State REITs. Those will be available soon at a brokerage house near you. I guess I'll have to add them to the app. There are so many ETFs out there. Okay, you know what I'm looking forward to in 20, other than snook fishing and red fishing, redfish fishing? How about the when Starlink goes public? Do you know it's expected to go with the valuation as high as $1.5 trillion? I don't ever remember an IPO checking in at $1.5 trillion. What is Tesla today? Is it bigger? Is SpaceLink now bigger than Tesla? Yes. Well, that's what Tesla is, $1.5 trillion. Which, you know, it took him a long time to get there, and of course it's taken him a long time, but imagine a guy, two totally disparate industries, one rocket ships and the other electric vehicles. Does Musk go down as the greatest inventor of all time? Is he up there with Edison and the Wright brothers? I think so.
He's profited the most out of any of those, I tell you that much. So.
Did the Wright brothers make any money off of their venture? I don't know. That's all I see are the clips of the plane crashing on the beach and the guy running away from it before it, you know, blows up or whatever. I don't know if they ever made any money from it, but look at the money. Starlink and Tesla.
It'd be interesting to see what the Thomas Edison, estate, was at the time of his passing. You could do a future value calculation, right, of how much that money would have been worth, in today's age. But I would guess in terms of inventor and or, CEO, he's certainly has surpassed any of those expectations over the years. I mean,
well, and with Starlink, with SpaceX, you get Starlink. You know, that little ASTS has done pretty well this year. It was one of the biggest winners in the telecom space. It's just a mobile phone provider. You know, I don't know what the hoopla was, but because it's AS Space Mobile, it looks like Space Mobile. It's really Space Mobile, giving you access to, which that's been around for a long time. The tuna fishermen off San Diego used to use sat phones many years ago.
Their valuation, the ASTS's valuation has just gotten such a boost because of, they're going to be, in terms of valuation wise, they're the one thing that's a bit comparable, right, to SpaceX. And when they go public, likely in 2026, then they're getting priced in a similar fashion.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting.
100%. Cybertruck. Not selling. I don't like those things. I see him around town, and I don't know. He should have came up with more of a something on the lines of the Rivian truck or something like that, a little more. It's a little bit over the top for me. The battery.
A little more conventional. Truck. I saw a Ford Lightning, actually, a couple of days ago parked at Costco. And, walking by it, I was like, you know what? It looked like a real truck, right?
Yeah, they're not making them anymore.
It didn't look like an electric truck, right?
No, people lost a lot of money buying into that venture. And the people that make the batteries for the Tesla Cybertruck, L&F Corp, they're cutting way back on the production of the batteries, which is not a good sign. The Cybertruck is not really selling all that well. Well, we'll get back to some conventional things like Boeing. They get a big contract. And look at this. Wegovy drug prices are dropping like a rock. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. How will Boeing do in 2026? It's all I know is they are building, expanding, and hiring here in South Carolina. They own all the land around our international airport in Charleston, which is about 20 minutes from me. So I get to see, boots on the ground.
I counted 15 last time I drove by there a few days ago, literally counted 15 different, you know, painted up planes ready for delivery, in the facility that they're having. You mentioned that they've been adding on to it. It's huge. Yeah. It looks like its own airport in terms of the actual planes parked and just waiting to be delivered. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, they got an $8.6 billion contract to build aircraft for the Israel Air Force. Now, they don't build those here. Here they're building the big commercial, the Dreamliners, right, and others.
The Dreamliner, yeah. Yeah, and, Dreamliner, right.
I think they build a lot of the others in St. Louis, around there. They have a couple of places around the country. But they scored an $8.6 billion contract to build aircraft for the Israel Air Force. When I was coming back from somewhere, I don't remember where, I sat next to a guy. He talked to me the whole way, several hours. He was a talker. He was a supply chain manager for Boeing. Making sure that supply chain always had, and he was coming from Germany. He had been in Frankfurt, Germany that day and was returning to Charleston. That's a long haul. And we were talking about the supply chain and how important it is to keep things moving. And, the parts are sourced from all over the place. He was over the hydraulic lines, okay? They're made in Frankfurt, Germany. And he was in Frankfurt, Germany, getting a tour of the plant and watching them test these lines. They have to withstand tremendous pressure on those hydraulic lines. That was his job, flying around the world. They must have a lot of people that keep that supply chain moving. Novo Nordisk, which is in Denmark, cuts Wegovy price in China. So there's a price war going on. And guess where there's all of a sudden a huge market for the weight loss GLP-1 drugs is China. Listen to this. An estimate projected that 65% of the Chinese population could be considered obese by 2030. Well, okay, here's my thought on that. As I look for my conviction picks for 2026, it's hard not to consider Lilly. I just think that the market... Think where the market was for electric vehicles, 10 years ago and how it just exploded. I think that now that they've got the pill, Lilly's not quite there yet, but NVO has the pill. And with 65% of the Chinese population considered obese, now will China come up with a pill of their own? Probably at some point in time. what percent of the American population? You know, I saw Philip Rivers in a uniform. He could use a little GLP. He didn't look very good. My wife saw him warming up on TV. She says, "Is that Philip Rivers?" I don't know. How did he do Sunday? I was busy.
For a 44-year-old quarterback, he's held his own pretty well. It's, really? He's lost a couple of close games. I think he's 0-3 since joining him, but he's been pretty close. I mean, each game they've been in it, right? Wow. So, I mean, you couldn't ask, I guess, for more from that standpoint. I saw some pictures of his, you know, his kids and his sons kind of watching him play, and, you know, he made a great pass, and, you know, his kids are cheering. I mean, it's a pretty remarkable story. My guess is some point it'd have to be a movie. I mean, you would think at some point it seems like at least a Hallmark movie, you know.
The one thing I'll say about Philip Rivers, I watched him a lot over the years when I was a rabid San Diego Charger fan until they moved to Los Angeles. That's it, baby. You're out of here. You leave me, you're done. But Rivers was a gamer, man. He was a total gamer. He came to play, and he left everything on the field each week. But obesity, it's hard not to consider both of those stocks, Novo and Lilly, as conviction picks in 2026. I don't think they've even begun to penetrate the potential market, and you've got the prices coming down. So you've got a lot, and you've got Medicare now. In some cases, it's not quite available yet through Medicare unless you have diabetes. I think that's the trick there. So anyways, here's a couple of conviction picks from Wedbush. Well, you know what? Wedbush is Wedbush. They're probably more like me, or I'm more like them than most of the other brokerage firms out there. They like Microsoft, Palantir, Apple, Tesla, CrowdStrike, and NVIDIA. And I think those are pretty much perennial picks for them. They've done well with them. They think that Wall Street is underestimating the Azure growth story. Azure, that's Microsoft's product. The others are definitely key players, and they've been an Apple and Tesla bull for many years, Dan Ives, and of course he has his own ETF, Ives, IVES. There's a little plug for his ETF. We'll put him up against Trump and see how they do. I doubt that Trump will be picking the stocks, but I will volunteer my services if he needs a stock picker for one of his
ETFs. That's right. There we go.
How about the REITs? You know, this time of year, they're listing the top performers for the year. The REITs, today they featured the hotel REITs. The top-performing hotel REIT was up 5% in 2025. And, you know, I have noticed that REIT fever has really cooled off on Seeking Alpha. The guy with the double-digit dividend yields, he still gets a lot of page reads. You know, he's unflappable. He just moves forward, even though he's had some huge losers over the years.
Just write another article.
Right? Well, you put that in the headline. You know, you put 12% yield in the headline, and that's going to draw people in, right? And I always say, double check. Go to the app and see what the total return is. Yes, it's one thing to pay a 12% dividend yield, but then look at how the price of the stock has done. In real estate, the top performing real estate stock in 2025, I had to add this to the app. Somehow I missed it. Anywhere Real Estate, Inc. The symbol is HOUS, House. It was up 334% in 2025, but generally speaking, it was not a good year for housing stocks, for real estate stocks. Why? Interest rates. Interest rates still remain high. The second best performing real estate stock was Open Door Technologies, up 264%. And then Diversified Healthcare Trust, which the healthcare REITs, if I had to own a REIT, it would be probably related to healthcare or the data centers. I certainly wouldn't own an office REIT. I wouldn't own a strip mall shopping center REIT, maybe an apartment REIT, but they haven't done very well either. They're just not very good, the performers. That doesn't stop Realty Income. They are putting out, they just raised $816 million for an open-end core plus fund that they're putting together. You know, Barry, that's another thing. There's no shortage of real estate partnerships, private REITs, private equity, apartment REITs. There's just no shortage. And, of course, one of the biggest purveyors around the world of partnerships is right here in South Carolina. They're headquartered in right downtown Charleston. We're kind of the apartment capital of the world right now, it would seem. We have Gray Star. And I was talking to, I know several people that work for Gray Star, and they said, you know, most of the stuff
is big bought up.
It's bought up around the world. The Dubai Sovereign Fund, they go all over the world putting together these REIT packages and raising money. I don't know, you know, I think there's a lot of supply out there, and I think a lot of it's pretty mediocre, the returns. But, you know, around the world, you know what they want? They want exposure to the American real estate market. So it does sell, and they raise a lot of money, and they make a lot of money packaging these partnerships. We'll be right back.
Golden cage on a winter's day. You got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And as we come around and visit a city near you in 2026, it gives you an opportunity to set up a one-hour appointment with us in person with Barry and myself. And we take the whole team there with us. And our first stop, we're zeroing in on Houston. We have never made a trip to Houston. We haven't been in that market for as long as we've been in some of the other markets, like at Sarasota and Minnesota and San Francisco, etc. But we're looking forward to that. And normally the way we do it, Tuesday night, we do a workshop, 2 hours, I'd say more like 2 hours when you add in all of the questions at the end of the session. And that is free of charge. You can come and attend the workshop and learn a little bit about the system that I employ in the market. You know, I believe in systems. I grew up watching Don Coryell at San Diego State with his system of offense, which was remarkable. He took it to San Diego or to the San Diego Chargers, Air Coryell. It was remarkable. And, you know, at least in football, if I were a football coach, I watched the Carolina Panthers a little bit on Sunday. And I said, you know what? They need a new offensive coordinator. It's just boring football. I mean, I could almost predict what play they're going to call up the middle for two
or
three yards.
You need some excitement, right?
They need some excitement.
I agree 100%.
The only purpose for a running back, unless it's a fantastic running back, I mean, we had Latavius Tomlinson, and I saw some great running backs, Chuck Muncy over the years. I mean, I saw some of the greatest running backs of all time, but in most offensive systems, running backs should just protect the quarterbacks. He can throw the ball down the field. I just love spreading it out. You know, whether it's college or whether it's pros, it's a more efficient form of offense, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to score points and put points on the board and bring the fans in and have people that are rabid fans. I volunteered to be the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. They really need to spice things up over there. But anyways, You know, I don't run that kind of offense here in the stock market, but at the same time, I don't run an asset allocation model that, you know, is designed to do 4 or 5% a year, maybe 6, you know, somewhere in that range, a 60-40, a 70-30 mix. I think you can do better than that. You know, the ETFs for me is kind of like handing the ball off to the fullback up the middle, gain 3 or 4 yards, try to be in the right ETFs. And usually people own so many ETFs, they own the entire market. I just think you can be more selective, hone it a little bit, narrow it down a little bit, try to put the best on the field at any given point in time, make the changes where necessary. Monitor it very closely. Be a little bit more on the pro, on the active side than the pro, or than the defensive, the active, not passive. That's what
passive.
I'm looking for.
Yeah.
That's a passive. A passive offense is. There used to be a coach, Chuck Knox of the Rams. They called him Ground Chuck. Like hamburger, right?
Ground Chuck.
I think Chuck Knox was at Pittsburgh for a while too as the coach, and he was grinded out, you know, a couple of yards. I think the Rams had Lawrence McCutcheon back then as a running back, and that's just boring. Anybody can do that. That's just the way I look at life. You know, I have a picture on my wall in my office. Well, it's about 2 foot by 3 foot, and Coryell's standing on the sidelines with the hands on his hips, talking things over with Dan Fouts. And in between them was Coryell's assistant, who was one of my weight trainers when I was in high school, playing high school football, Phil Tine. He was the strength coordinator for the Chargers, and he also kind of ran cover for Coryell, you know, as they changed the plays up and everything like that. Coryell was active, man. I mean, they were... He thought outside the box, period. And that is autographed by Coryell and Dan Fouts, and that's just one of my inspirations. Of course, you have to have a defense too, and Coryell did bring up Arnsparger towards the later years. He brought him in from Miami. He was a pretty good defensive coordinator, too. You have to have both. You have to have the best offense, and you have to have the best defense. Because you never know what, you know, what life is going to throw at you. I remember one time the Chargers got to Cincinnati, and it was -7 degrees, the ice bowl, they called it. And, you know, when you throw the football, it's like a rock. The football feels like a rock, and the receivers had gloves on, and it Air Coryell just didn't work real good in that. I think the game was like 7-3, the final score in the ice bowl. But anyways, you have to be prepared for any situation that the market throws at you. So you have to be a little bit on the flexible side. This year, 2026, you know, you can't rest on your laurels. You can't look back at what worked this past year and think it's going to work again. Although I think a lot of stocks are still in very good trends that should continue into 26, I think you're going to see a little bit of selling the first few weeks of January. They call it the January effect. You're going to see some repositioning. You're going to see some rebalancing and whatnot. And you just have to kind of keep your eye on the conditions out there and adjust, make a few adjustments accordingly. But we're going into 2026 pretty fully loaded. We do have quite a bit of cash on the sidelines. We cashed in a lot of things over the last couple of months that we thought were a little bit overblown, I would say we had a pretty good year, looking to have even a better one next year. Now, to get 4 weeks of the newsletter, to see what's moving, where the snook are, how to get them out of those mangroves if you have to, go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Get on the Gunderson train in 2026. And also to set up an appointment with us. I was just looking at some people. They moved 8 accounts to us, and I'm going through each one of them. I'm selling off the dogs. I'm getting rid of the weeds. I'm weeding the garden, ready to replant and spruce it up a little bit. To make an appointment with us. We don't have to come to your town. You can do it from the comfort of your home. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.